have contact. Is that right now? I'm going to tell you right now, that's amazing, isn't it? Right now, you got to have a little bit of electricity. Fossil fuel won't help that. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Chronicles. We'll be looking there in chapter number 25 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I appreciate the good singing and the blessing from on high. And what a blessing that was there. And all that business there. And Logan making his debut there and singing a song. Great job all the way around. Just all the way around. And so we bless the Lord for that. All right, take your Bible, if you will, now, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 1. And Amaziah was 25 years old whenever he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadam of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. In other words, obviously doing stuff right on the outside, but having a little bit of something wrong on the inside of him. Now it came to pass that whenever the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. And moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the house of their fathers, and throughout all the land, all of Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and he found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle a spear and a shield. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou God. Beside thee, there is none else. We ask you now you'd help us to exalt and magnify your name together. We thank you now for the good songs that we've enjoyed together tonight of Zion. We ask you now you'd help us receive thy word. Thy word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on too much head service and not enough heart. Self-confidence is the thing that saturates people up and down the road and in a bad manner. In fact, is what you'll find, that self-confidence is but half-heartedness. What it does is that it goes ahead and does what it feels like you're all right with or I'm all right with. But half-heartedness is ought to be give way unto the Lord, and to realize to know that our whole heart and mind and soul ought to be given to him and directed by him. In the lesson that we're looking at, here's what the idea is that over in Galatians, don't turn there, but you remember when he said to that bunch at Galatia, and he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel. Remember that? Half-heartedness will make you do that. And as a result of that, he said, you started out right, started out in the spirit, or you're now made perfect by the flesh. That's half-heartedness that'll do that to you. I want to say to you that here's a man by the name of Amaziah. Now his daddy had been king before him of Judah, and a bunch of those servants had gotten in somehow or another, and they killed him and left him to die on his own bed, chapter number 24 and about verse number 25. And the Bible said there, the names of the people there in verse 26. And now in verse number 27, concerning the sons and the greatness, the burdens upon them, repairing the house of God. Behold, they're written in the story of the book of the kings, and Amaziah's son reigned in his stead. Now what he done was, he hadn't forgot about the fact that this bunch had killed his daddy. But isn't it something that he had enough fear of God that I don't want to make their children pay for their sins? And so he just killed them that were involved in the act of killing his father, and he let the rest of them go. Now, in the lesson that we've gotten, there's about, I don't know, four or five things that we ought to look at. Number one is that he had, verse 5, plenty of soldiers. Here's a man that's got 300,000, quote-unquote, choice men. We're not just talking about a bunch of people that have no pedigree whatsoever, no skills whatsoever. We're talking about some choice men, 300,000 strong, that were men that could handle a spear and could handle a shield. These were mighty men of valor. These are men of war. I want you to notice that, if you will, that in not only did he have plenty of soldiers, he also had plenty of silver. Look in verse number 6. Verse number 6, he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Now here's the king of Judah. He's going to hire some men out of Israel. And what he does is that he hires $100,000 worth, and he's got silver to be able to pay him 100,000 talents of him. So here's a man that's pretty well to do and all that business there. But then I want you to notice is that in verse number 7 that it's very vital and important. Here's a man that wasn't ignorant of the Word of God. Here's a man that heard plenty of sermons. And let me tell you right now, is that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that there have been plenty of sermons that have been preached up and down the road of life, and there's no doubt some right now. And here's a man that heard plenty of them. And let me tell you something, is that in verse number 7, I want you to look at the passage, but there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel. That's going to make somebody mad. To wit, with all the children of Ephraim, but if thou wilt go, do it, and be strong for the battle. He said, God shall make thee fall by the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. Now, no doubt about that he was worried about that his silver that he was spent and the money that he had given. I mean, here he has, you know, given 100 talents of silver to buy 100,000 men to help him. But in verse number 9, and Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? In other words, he's worried about his money. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Sometimes, you know, we look at what we can do, and we look at the limitation of what we have access, whether it be financially or whether it be talents or what, and yet you'll find, I want you to know that God is able to cast down or able to help you one way or the other and to give you much more than what you've spent. Now I want you to notice that, if you will, that too much self-confidence will make you worry about the money that you spend. I know I would have been. I probably would have been. Of course, I don't have that kind of money, so I'm not going to be worried about 100 talents of silver and this and that. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something. Doing the right thing is not always easy. He's about to learn that. In verse number 10, you'll find that these religious people that were there, Amaziah separated them, to wit the army that was come to him from Ephraim, to go home again. I'm not going to need you after all. And wherefore, their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. I got to tell you right now, it makes religious people angry when you and I try to tell them, hold it a minute, I made a decision, but yeah, God's condemning my heart and won't let me. Now, you're going to come up against some decisions in life that you're going to have to make. I mean, I've had to make a lot of them. Here's what I've learned. Sometimes I miss God in it. When you miss God, you're going to have to turn around and make another decision. I remember especially, you know, whenever a church would call and want you to come and be pastor there, and you're trying to decide and get the mind of God, so forth and on. And I remember one time, especially whenever I was going to go to Simsport, Louisiana, somebody said it was hell's half acre. I believe it was three quarters or better at least. 92% Roman Catholic. And I'm talking about, buddy, listen, you talk about lived on a meager means and support, we couldn't even pay attention. But God was good in spite of all of that. I just said all that to be able to tell you and to let you know this, is that God's grace and God's way and God's mercy is sufficient. And while I was trying to make up my mind, a fellow by the name of old Brother Thrift, here's what he said. You're never going to be able to have God condemn your heart or commend your heart until you make a decision. You're trying to ask God and trying to tell, Lord, give me something real. You're going to have to make a decision. Now, here's the problem. If you make the wrong decision and God smites your heart about it, you better turn around and make the right decision immediately. Don't go on and try to just get right on through with it. I'm like that one preacher said. He said, man, I wanted to leave the church. I was that so bad. I took another church and I called. I told told the people, I said, listen, I've left, and tell my wife to pack the bags. I'm praying about coming here and pack my bags and pack her bags, and let's be ready to get over here. And maybe God will meet us here later. I got to tell you, friend, God's not going to meet you anywhere later. He's just not. Hey, here's a good note. Remember the home unto the Romans and all of that? Seemed like a nice family and all that. I got a newsletter tonight. Of course, you know, he died. And what a mess that's got to leave that family. And there's his young man, his son, and with the Bible and some people. And he says, I've answered the Lord's call to preach in the place of my father. And I thought, man, that's a blessing from on high. That isn't just something you want to grab up and run with without the call of God and the touch of God upon it. I said all that just so you'd know that here's a man that had made a decision, and now he's found out he's missed God on the deal, and he wants to try to get it straightened up and straightened down. I want you to see that whenever you make the right choice and the right decision, it's not always an easy task. In verse number 11, you'll find out that there was 10,000 people that ended up getting killed by the time you look. Verse number 12, another 10,000 left alive. Verse number 13 is that the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, they could not go with him to the battle, and they fell upon the cities of Judah and Samaria, and they wanted to kill something, somebody, and so they smote 3,000 people there and took much spoil. Now, I want you to watch, if you will, that looks like things are going on pretty good, and now that God's getting it all straightened up and straightened out, and yet in spite of what other people may or may not be doing, that God's got his eyes on it and God's watching, but that's not where his danger is going to come in at. I want to say to you that while Judah was in the battle, his rejectors got to attacking behind and got to killing and stealing and taking much spoil. Now, I want you to look in verse 14 of the same chapter. Here's a man that becomes hardened by sin. That's what sin will do for you, make you hard. And it came to pass that after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, and that he had brought the gods of the children of Seir. Boy, here we go. And he set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them, and he burned incense unto them. That's all it's going to take. Verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Why are you worshiping false gods that they set up? These gods you're worshiping, they could not deliver them themselves. Now I'm going to tell you something. Half-hearted service will make you get to where you listen the wrong direction, look the wrong direction, make the wrong decision. Do you realize, though, that the greatest country that's in the world, that we live right here in it? Yes, sir. Now, I'm not talking about in the day and hour that we got going, but I'm talking about when our forefathers began to leave England because of the fact that they were being taxed to death, taxation without representation. Remember that? And let me tell you right now is that it isn't amazing that out of Geneva and the King James Bible and the Ten Commandments and men that were God-fearing like that, that God brought them to this country, and it has grown to be what it has, and that's gone downhill. As a result, here's what ends up happening. You'll find the quote-unquote gods of the people, namely a multicultured society. By that, mixing all races, mixing all religions, mixing all lifestyles. I got to tell you right now is if you just look at it and look at it real carefully, Indonesia, India, Iraq, Iran, Malaysia, Mongolia, all of these Allah worshipers, these are Muslims. I want you to look at their country, and I want you to look at their lifestyle. I want you to look at what they're doing and what they've done. We could go on and on and on about people in Algiers and so forth and so on that are Muslim worship, that worship of the gods and so forth and on. Not one of them has ever had God to move in their behalf and to deliver them. Not one time. And yet here we are trying to make it acceptable among the leaders of our country, trying to shove that down our throats because they don't believe the old King James Bible is the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, he's asking the question, why do you want to worship those false gods that you brought home with you? They didn't help the people that you brought them from. How do you think that's going to help you any? We've lost that in the day we live in. Now, tonight, everything is going fine and everything's hunky-dory. I don't know what hunky is or dory is, but whatever it is, it just seems like it's a good fit. And it's going to be hunky-dory till your son or to your daughter meets somebody that's a Muslim worshiper, and then you're going to want to be more sympathetic toward getting the picture. That's how it happens, isn't it? No doubt about it, that whenever you come down here to the house of God is that across the country. I can name you a lot of preachers, buddy. They've got the lockjaw when it comes to some of these subjects. You know why? Not because they believe that it's right. They don't believe it's right. But they've got somebody in their congregation they dare not offend. Now, we're not in business trying to offend anybody. But let me just tell you something. If you speak the word of the Lord, the way God said it, to whom he said it, and so forth and on, I'll tell you what it's going to end up doing is that it's going to cause some anger, and it's no doubt going to cause some people and dissension. Now I want you to look at about verse number 15 of this text that we're reading. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. Why? Because he brought them false gods home. And God's going to send him a prophet. And I want you to notice, if you will, please, that God did send him a preacher. In verse number 16, look at it with me. And it came to pass that as he talked with him, talking about this prophet, and as he talked with him, the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. In other words, he's stopping him. Why shouldest I be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and thou hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Now, isn't it something that here the king of Judah, Amaziah by name, he didn't want to hear that preaching anymore. I'm not going to hear that. I mean, it's like, you know, I look out sometimes at a congregation, our congregation. Of course, I've been looking a long time, and I can tell when people are receiving it in or wanting to, I'm not listening. In this lesson that you're looking at, I want you to pay close attention. Look in verse number 17. Here's a man that not only made the preacher stop preaching, but in verse number 17, and Amaziah, the king of Judah, took advice. Now he's about to take some earthly advice. He sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, and the son of Jehu, and the king of Israel, saying, and come and let us see one another in the face. In other words, let's have a face-to-face meeting with him. And let me tell you right now, is he finally ends up doing just exactly all of that. Look down there in about verse number 20. Amaziah would not hear, for it came from God, and he might deliver him into the hand of the enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. And then in verse number 21 and 2, and Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another face to face, and behold, he and Amaziah, the king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth unto Judah. And Judah was put to the worse. Look at him. He'd made up his mind, I'm going to take earthly advice and do what I want to do and go where I want to go, make an attack anyway. And he did. Verse number 22 says, and Judah was put to the worse. Hey, it got from bad to worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. Now, verse 23, and Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, the king of Judah, and the son of Joash, and the son of Jehoahaz, and Beth Shemech, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner of the gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the silver, gold and silver, and all the vessels that he found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, and hostages also, and turned in Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the king of Israel, 15 years. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, here's a king that decided that he had not followed the word of the Lord, but what he was going to do is he was going to follow the advice of man. Look in verse 27. Now, after that time, Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord. They made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent him to Lachish after him and slew him there. brought him back on horses, buried him, so forth, with his father, so forth and on. I want to say to you in closing tonight, we cannot measure obedience by a profit and loss system. Here's the way we are in America. Well, is this going to pay or not? We don't really, and anytime you're going to ask, is this going to be profitable or not profitable? Anytime that's your first question, instead of is this right in the sight of God or not? See, when you're more interested in the outcome of being profitable or not than you are right or wrong, it's a sign that that's half-hearted service. See, that's what that is. And in this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, we learn that God didn't let a king of Judah, that no doubt that he would have been a blessing to and had been, and let him go as far as he did. It's good to be able to know that our God's on the throne and everything's running right on time. I don't know about you, and I don't know all that God's going to do next, but whatever it is, I want to get in on it.
Yes, sir.
I just want to get in on it. I don't realize and know that where God's going to lead us in these things, you've heard me say this over and over again, is that I cannot tell you exactly where God's going to lead us in this thing we're facing. But I can promise you that wherever he leads us, it'll be better than where he brought us from.
Amen.
I'm not looking for the undertaker, but he may show up.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the uppertaker. And let me tell you, I'm listening and looking for the trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ to rise, and we're looking forward with great anticipation to that day. Until that day, I want to be found busily and occupied about his business, that I be not ashamed at his appearing. I want to say in closing, just so that you'll know, what we ought to do and what we have must do, if you're going to be in fellowship with God and stay in fellowship like you ought to with the Lord, is that what you're going to have to do is be sensitive unto him and receive him and what he's dishing out to you. Here's what I've seen, especially, you know, in the last many years, and I've noticed it. There's a host of people out there. They dare not think that anything negative is coming their way because they're just going to believe it to be so. I've believed a lot of things to be so, and I've had to go to the cemetery with them with my head hanging and my heart broken. You and I, and however much we may or may not believe, and however strong we may or may not be, has absolutely nothing to do with what God's going to decide and what God is going to put in your lap and on your plate. See? And I'll tell you what happens if you don't realize that and you don't look at that, you don't know that. It'll make you bitter toward God. It'll make you say things to God in your heart, your soul, and your mind that you wished you hadn't. I'm glad God loves me in spite of who and what I am, and in spite of who and what I've said, in spite of me and what I've thought.
Yes.
See? Amaziah, here's what he thought he'd do. He thought, you know what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take these false gods and look like that's an easy way to worship. And God, it's like God's looking, you, are you an idiot?
Yes,
huh? Are you an ignorant? Are you ignorant or what? That's what the old country boy said. I know it's ignorant, but what's the matter with you? These gods that you're about to worship didn't help the people you took them from. How do you think they're going to help you? I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I want to say, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Make no mistake about it. Whatever the Lord does, and whenever he does it in his own timing, I'll be just and it'll be right. And I don't want to serve him just with a perfect with a perfect heart. With a perfect mind. I want to have a perfect heart about it and be real with God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us. And I pray your blessings now upon this service as we get ready to leave. There's a lot of boys and girls, young men and young ladies, and what a wonderful group that you've reared up right here in this place. Now I pray you'd build a hedge about them, guard their heart and their mind, and Lord, we'll say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. In Jesus' name.